In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So good to see everybody today. A joyous Lord's Day as we come together to praise and worship Him and to experience that type of grace that we can only experience in church. So I'm looking around the temple, and I think it's pretty safe to assume all of you are humans, right? No lizard people here? Good. Because of that fact, I think it's also safe to assume that all of us have, at some point in our lives, found ourselves to be in a very desperate situation. Something's going wrong, right? All hope seemed lost. We got this giant bill we weren't expecting. We got this phone call about a medical condition we weren't expecting. Something happened, and we're like, what do we do now? Things seem lost. All we can see before us is despair, right? It's like, what do I do next? Because that's pretty common for all human beings to experience that at least one point in their life. Some of us, unfortunately, many points in our life, we've come to that point of despair where things just seem hopeless. There's nothing next. And yet in the gospel today, St. Luke tells us about a woman who lost her husband and then something really, really, really bad happened to her. She lost her son. And I think I've mentioned this before, but we kind of have to take ourselves out of, 21st century America, Western society, and go back in time to what it was like to be a woman back then, that you had no agency, you couldn't vote, you couldn't own property, you needed the headship of a man, the man represented you in society, and she had no man. She was a widow, and her son had just died. So she was in trouble. What do I do next? How is this going to go? Am I just going to beg? Am I going to be one of those ladies begging alongside the street? I can't work. I'm older now. What do I do? And so we see in this woman ourselves at various points in our lives. What do I do? What's next? And we know we look at this, and if you really paid attention to the gospel, you'll notice that what we heard in Luke today was a foreshadowing of Christ's death. Because the Theotokos was also a widow, and she was also watching her son being crucified on the cross, and probably wondering, okay, now what? Now what do I do? Same thing happened to Mary. She faced that same thing. She had no grandchildren, and no, she didn't have any other children either. This was her only son. She had no one to take care of her after her son died on the cross for all of humanity, including her. But in that moment when Christ hung on the cross and everything seemed to be dire, there was still a path to salvation occurring right in front of her. St. John, the theologian, received the Theotokos in his home and took care of her, for Christ was about to do something miraculous, eternal, and life-giving. He was about to bring life to all of humanity, both the living and the dead. And so, we see at the cross with the Theotokos, in a similar circumstance as this woman, in a similar circumstance as all of us here, in that moment of despair, God was at work, doing something. It's in our own dark moments when life seems too much, when we've lost too much and we are carrying more than we can bear. It's in those moments of despair and darkness when the light of Christ shines the greatest. It's when he's working the greatest work. It's when he comes to us, just as he did to the widow in the gospel today. He comes to us just as he did to her. And in our moment of darkness, in our moment of trial, in our moment of tribulation, when it all seems lost, he says something to us, as he said to her, do not weep. Because God provides for us in our darkest moments. When things seem the worst. I've often said, don't go to hell without Jesus. Because if you go into the darkness with him, there's only light. So our temptation is to despair. But we know that Christ does what he has always done for us. He's always taking care of us. And I said, if you ever struggle with faith and trusting in God when things are really, really, really bad, when your health is bad, when your finances are bad, when your family situation's bad, when things are really, really, really tough, do this one thing. Look back on your life. Look back on your life and see all the times that God has carried you through the difficulty. I guarantee you he has. And that's interesting because we say, you know, Moses on the mountain, God says to him, no man can look into my face and live. You have to look at my backside. What a weird exchange with God, right? You know, no, you can't look at my face because no one should look at my face and live, but you can look at me as I pass by. And what we see in that moment is that we can't always see what God is doing until after he's done it. And so look back on your life. Look back on all the times where God was merciful to you and he delivered you from those dire situations when things seem impossible, when there's nothing to do except give up. Well, what do we do next? Well, we just give up now. But we don't give up because we have faith and we know that he's been faithful to us, and so we choose to be faithful to him. We look back on our lives because we see how Christ has taken care of us and how he has always delivered us from darkness. And believe it or not, the day is going to come where all of us are going to be on our deathbed. And we're going to have, that's the dire situation, right? That's the direst of all situations, to be in your deathbed and to be in that moment and look back and say, you have always been faithful to me. And I know that even after I die, you will still be faithful to me. You will still deliver me from darkness. Because as the people in the gospel said, yes, God has visited his people. He has visited us in our sorrow and in our pain, in our fear, in our loneliness, and in our suffering. He who holds the entire cosmos in his hands walks with us. He who called all things into being out of nothingness weeps with us. He who destroyed death by his very presence is with us in our times of sorrow, comforting us. It's great, isn't it? It's true, by the way. It's really true. I have seen it enough. In my own life and the life of others, he is there with you in your sorrow. And so then the question is, we know what God's doing. What do we do? How do we respond to this great thing that Christ is there with us in our sorrow? And I say this, my friends, and this is the toughest thing. You're going to get so sick of this. You're going to email the bishop. Vladika, Father Peter keeps asking us to do these really hard things. Could you tell him to not do that anymore? Simple, but it's hard, as is the spiritual life. We only have one job, one way to appropriately respond to God's faithfulness, and that is to remember God always. Remember God always. Remember him always, especially when things are tough, especially when you think there's no future. When you're walking there as a widow and your only son is dead, there is still hope. Remember God. Remember him when things are horrible, but also remember him when things are great. I don't know about y'all, but it's when things are going great, I'm like, I don't need to pray today. Everything's fine. I'm just going to go and, you know, have some breakfast and have some coffee and, you know, do stuff around the house. But no, I mean, even when things are great, remember God. Remember him always, in the good and in the bad. Remember him when they're great and when they're awful. And then when we remember him, do this other thing. Give thanks. Give thanks. I can't impart to everyone here how important it is to give thanks to God. Glory to God for all things. You know, even when bad things happen, that's like ninja level Christianity, by the way. Hopefully someday we'll all be there. We call those saints, you know. Is that when things are hard, you can still make the sign of the cross and say, glory to God that he has given me this trial so that I can learn to trust him even more. So that I can have more faith in him than I have now. Because my faith is so small. Give him thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the good and the bad. Thank you that you have given us this day together where we can worship him together. Thank him for the gift that he's about to offer of his own body and blood in the Eucharist. He makes our lives living in the Eucharistic celebration, where we offer our lives, all of it, the good and bad to God. And I don't know if you noticed that, but that moment in the anaphora where I lift the chalice, and I go, or the deacon does, but we don't have a deacon right now, but I say, thine own of thine own, we offer unto thee on behalf of all and for all. It's not just the bread and wine, it's y'all. You are his. Offer what is his to him, so that he may bless it and return it back to you. And that's everything. That's the good and the bad, right? It's all of it. It's the painful memories and it's the joyful memories. It's the pain, it's the suffering, and it's the ecstasy. It's all of the good things and all the bad things we offer unto him. The good and the bad, we offer it to God. And by doing that, just as we do in the Eucharist celebration, where we offer thine own, we offer unto thee, just as we offer that unto him, and he blesses it, and he sanctifies it, and he makes it holy in the bread and the wine, so he does that same thing with you when you offer your life to him. The good and the bad, thine own, offer unto him. Trust in him, and he will meet us where we are in our funeral procession, wherever that is for us in our context, where we're walking along, we're like, what's going to happen next? What's next? And he says to us, do not weep, for God is with us. And he touches us, and he brings life to us, and he restores us and makes us whole. Because when we allow him to bless our lives and return it to us, he does it as life-giving. For just as Christ destroyed death by his presence, so he will heal your life by his presence. And then in that moment when things seem so dark and horrible and awful and things are falling apart, we don't know what's coming next. When we offer it to Christ, we offer our whole life to him and we give him thanks for the many good things and even the bad things in our lives. We see something miraculous happen. And it's the same thing happened in the tomb. Where there was darkness and despair, we see life, eternal life. And so, as we proceed through the rest of the service today, be encouraged to offer your life to God. Whatever that is that's troubling you right now, literally, just say practical words. Lord, I offer this to you right now. This is yours. I offer my good and my bad. I offer it all to you right now in this service. And then take what you've learned in this service with you throughout the week. And let it bless and illumine your life and the lives of those you encounter. And we give our thanks to God, to the Father, and to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Amen.